This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon. In the name of Jesus, amen. A Bible verse that you may have heard a time or two, if you've been a member here at Good Shepherd, is this one. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. And it is forgiveness of sin that we need, isn't it? Because we're sinners. As we just confessed, poor, miserable sinners. All have sinned, in fact, and fallen short of the glory of God, you and I included, and even the people of old included. There needs to be blood shed for sins to be forgiven. In the book of Exodus, God set up a system for exactly that thing to happen. And it was all centered around a tent. A fancy tent, to be sure, but it was a tent all the same. The tabernacle. In the book of Exodus, God commanded the people of Israel to fashion a tabernacle with their own hands. A fancy tent. He even told them to put it in the very center of their camp, that it might be the center of their life, the place where blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. God gave very specific instructions for how that tent was to be made, from its dimensions to its shape to how many rooms to even what colors it would be decorated in. This tent, the tabernacle, was made according to God's very specifications, for a reason, in fact, as we hear about in our epistle lesson. If you want to read about the tabernacle at home, go home and open up Exodus 26. You could probably even read 25 and 26 to get even more complete picture. But tonight I want to give you a brief summary, and that is this. The tabernacle was surrounded by a big rectangular tent wall. This set the tabernacle apart from all the tents and people living around it. In the center of this tent wall was the tabernacle itself. The fabric with which it was made was linen. Linen dyed blue and purple and scarlet. Fine twined linen, then woven into fabric, in which, woven into that fabric, were images of angels and cherubim, just like guarded the Garden of Eden from Adam and Eve after the fall into sin. On top of this fine, twined, colored linen tent, there was several additional layers made from goat hides that had been sewn together into huge sheets. Just like Adam and Eve had been covered in garments of animal skins to hide their shame, so too goat skin sheets separated God from God's people in the tabernacle. Inside the tabernacle, there were two rooms, the holy place, the bigger room out in front, and then the smaller room in the back, the Holy of Holies. In the first room, there was an altar of incense. There was a table for showbread to be set on. But in the Holy of Holies, that's where the important things happened. It's where the Ark of the Covenant sat. And on top of the Ark of the Covenant, the lid with the two cherubim with their wings pointed towards each other. And there, in between those wings, that's where God dwelt amongst his people. He was enthroned there, above the Ark of the Covenant, between the wings of the cherubim, surrounded by the fine twined linen embroidered with additional angels. There dwelt God, and underneath him, in the tabernacle, in the Ark of the Covenant, were the stone tablets on which God's law was written, the Ten Commandments. Now, I told you the reason God has all of this built is because people are sinners. The people back then, the people of Israel who had left Egypt behind, were sinners just like you and I were sinners. And so, atonement had to be made. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. So once a year, the high priest went into the tabernacle. Not just into the holy place, but into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the sin of the people. To do so, he had to put on a very fancy outfit, special clothes that matched the walls of the tabernacle themselves, fine twined linen woven together, blue, purple, and crimson. He had to wear a fancy breastplate with fancy jewels embroidered in it. He had to wear a turban to cover his head. And he went into the Holy of Holies carrying a dish of blood. Blood that had just been collected from a sacrifice outside the tent. And the high priest's job was to take that blood in before the Ark of the Covenant and to pour it on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, underneath where God was and above where the stone tablets of the law were. He was to put that blood in between God and the law on behalf of the people of Israel. And in that way, the blood covered the transgressions against the law from God's sight. The blood made atonement for the people of Israel, so that they could remain God's holy people. Now, this is no small task for a high priest to do. It's dangerous to be a sinner in front of God. If he'd put his clothes on the wrong way, if he made a wrong step or looked the wrong place, God was liable to kill him. And the rumor is, the tradition, for that reason, they tied a rope around his ankle to pull his body out if he messed up. Whether it's true or not, I do not know. But it is serious business for sins to be atoned for. Now, what does all this have to do with our texts for tonight? It all leads up to our epistle lesson, in which the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews indicates that the tabernacle and the atonement that took place therein is not really about the ancient people of Israel, not at all, but rather that it's all about Jesus. Not just Jesus, our friend, not just Jesus, the moral teacher, The tabernacle is all about Good Friday, crucified Jesus. And that's why we hear this text today, a little over 8 days from the beginning of Good Friday. In our epistle lesson, we see Jesus as both the high priest and the sacrifice, fulfilling all that the tabernacle ever was. First, he is the sacrifice because he pours out his blood from the cross. The blood pours out of his body plentifully. Grotesquely, in fact, if we're honest. The tract from tonight gives a picture of it when it says, "The plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows," speaking about how our Lord Jesus Christ was flogged. Seriously flogged. And the word flogged doesn't just mean hit with something, it means flogged. Long leather strips with stone or lead weights tied onto the end, with broken shards of pottery or glass placed into the leather thongs. Whipped across the back of our Lord Jesus Christ hard and often. And after being flogged, Jesus bore his cross out of the town and was nailed to it. Nails through his wrists and through his feet to hold him to a stake of wood, a cross. And to breathe, he had to pull himself up. He couldn't just hang or he would suffocate. And that rough wooden cross kept opening the wounds on his back. He poured out his blood as the ultimate sacrifice for sin. And if that wasn't enough, after he's finally dead, his side is pierced with a spear, and out pours more blood and water. There's not much blood left in Christ, if there's any at all, by the end of Good Friday. He is the ultimate sacrifice for sin. His blood is poured out for sinners. And our epistle lesson doesn't just see him as the sacrifice, it also sees him as the priest, not just a regular priest, but instead the book of Hebrews says that Jesus is the great high priest. That's even an office higher than Aaron, the brother of Moses' office. He was the high priest, but Jesus was the great high priest. An office that he holds by virtue of his nature, as both God and man united into one Christ. And as the great high priest, Jesus takes the blood of the sacrifice and he offers it before God. He pours it before God to separate God from the sins of the whole world, to cover them with his holiness and his righteousness. He takes his own blood before God. As our text says, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Jesus pours out his own blood to cleanse you from your sins. Now, how does he do it? How does he pour out his blood? Does he go back to the tabernacle that we see in the book of Exodus? No, for it doesn't exist any longer. It had been lost and destroyed since the time the Philistines captured the ark in the book of 1 Samuel. All that remains of where the tabernacle was are some archaeological remains in the city of Shiloh. But the fine twined linen is long gone. The goat hides over the top, long gone. The tent walls, all but forgotten. So where does he go? Does he go to the temple in Jerusalem? No, because at that time, that was little more than a relic, a memory of what had come before. The temple of Herod was, in fact, empty. There was no Ark of the Covenant in there. God never dwelt in the second temple in Jerusalem. It was only an empty Holy of Holies. What does our epistle lesson say? It says, Christ, the great high priest, offered his blood in the tent not made with human hands. In fact, our epistle lesson says, it wasn't even a part of this creation. Jesus offers his blood before God in heaven. The tabernacle of heaven, which is the template for all of the places of worship here on earth, at least the worship of the one true God. In the real heaven, in the real tabernacle, before God, enthroned with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, real cherubim surrounding him, not just golden imitations. There, Jesus poured out his blood for your forgiveness of sins. He shed it on the cross, and from there it's poured out before God. And it's a blood that speaks a better word than the blood of slain Abel that cried for vengeance. It's a blood that brings real forgiveness, forever forgiveness, eternal forgiveness for you and for your sins. It's poured out so that world without end, when God looks at you, he sees the forgiveness of Jesus. It's a true sacrifice offered by the great high priest once and for all that does not need to be repeated, that brings you forgiveness, life, and salvation. Therefore, our text says, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from transgressions, that redeems you from your transgressions. Dear friends in Christ, in a little over 8 days, that sacrifice, hidden now from our eyes, will be revealed in its fullness. It's for you, for your forgiveness. Do not neglect what Christ does for you on that day. He pours out his blood for you. Consider that. Even as we sing our closing hymn, hear its words. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain can give the guilty conscience peace or take away their stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. In the name of Jesus, amen. That concludes today's sermon from Pastor Adam Moline. For more information about the Lutheran faith, check out our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. The title of this podcast, With Intrepid Heart, comes from the conclusion to the Book of Concord, where it is written, "This is our faith, doctrine, and confession, in which we also are willing, by God's grace, to appear with intrepid hearts before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of it." God's blessings on your day.